following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
Series, Arts of Spiritual Conversation. We have been talking about this phrase, and it's a theme that we'll use throughout just another couple more Sundays, but it's this: building bridges with those around us so that they can walk across the bridge and meet Jesus. We talked about it last week. Let me keep going on it just a little bit. Oftentimes, there exists a very awkward gap between the follower of Christ and the one who is not the follower of Christ. You could see them every day at school. You see them on the job. There could be your barista. They could be the clerk at Food Pavilion, whatever else. But there's a gap. But you know them and they're friends. They know you should talk to them about Jesus, and you know you should talk to them about Jesus, but there's this awkward gap. How do you do that? What we're trying to do here in this series is try to offer some tools and some methods, some ways. And really, I'm going to dig beyond that particular idea and that thought, because so many times we try to memorize an evangelistic method. I believe what we're trying to present to us, to the church here, is more of an evangelistic lifestyle, okay? When Jesus said, go and make disciples, the word go there is in what is called the Greek aorist tense, which means as you are going. So it means as you are going through your life, be making disciples. Our first Sunday we talked, as you are going, be noticing people. Pastor Brian talked about that. And so you notice, we had some structures up here so everyone noticed those. Last week we talked about the base of, before you really had to help bridge that gap. Now I know this looks more like a ramp. No, let's call it a bridge. Say bridge. Bridge, okay, not ramp, bridge, okay. Narrow it down here, but anyhow. And so we built a base for our bridge. In any relationship, it is important to build a good base or a platform from which to speak. You just can't go up to someone, grab them by the lapels, and say, you're going to die and go to hell. You've got to have a platform to do that. Thought I could try to get your attention here. Okay? So there has to be a little bit of a preparation. The preparation we talked about last Sunday was the importance of praying for that person on a regular basis and loving them into the kingdom, doing your best to acts of kindness. Did anyone do an act of kindness for their three this week? Okay, don't raise your hand because I don't want to. I did. I took some See's candy. Yeah, James. Yeah. So if you're here this morning, you did not receive See's candy, that means you're not my friend. No, not good. No, so I took some See's candy to one of my three this week. And so again, just an attempt to reach out. I think we can all do things like that. Buy them a mocha or whatever the case may be. But we're doing our best to pray for them every day. I hope you set your alarm sometime during the day that when the alarm goes off, you pray for those three. That's what we challenged last Sunday. And I challenge every one of us here again today. And hopefully we're performing some kind of act of kindness for them on a regular basis, reaching out to them. So the first step was noticing. Jesus noticed Zacchaeus, okay, that he was up hiding in his tree. So we notice who is around us. And the second thing we try to do is we begin to pray for them. Saul said about Solomon, far be it from me to sin against the Lord, to cease praying for you. We need to be praying for one another, okay? And the third art that we talked about was, of course, loving. And it's very clear in the Bible, love God, love others. What we're trying to do here also is we're doing our best to build. Our goal is not to make everyone an evangelist, but make evangelism a basic lifestyle. So what we're trying to do is put this, ingrain this us a little bit. We have the SOAR book that we have written being distributed throughout the city. We're trying to do this right here in kind of a arts of spiritual conversation, helping people realize there are people out there who need to know Jesus. And then we're building up to these three people, doing our best to work toward the most incredible event on the Christian calendar, and that's Easter, April 16th. Okay, we're doing our best to build and get the enthusiasm and the excitement up for that, because that is a huge, huge, huge day. And so I want to encourage you to begin to build with us. Today I want to add two more steps. So we have noticing number one, we have praying, we have loving. So I want to add two more today to our list, and that is questions and listening. Okay, questions and listening. And so we're going to take a look at those two briefly here today. very briefly, okay? The first one or fourth one in the list, asking questions. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should," now think, check this out, "each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also in the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus." Notice that last phrase. Keep that in mind. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. When you study the ministry of Jesus throughout the Gospels, you'll find out and you'll discover that Jesus asked a lot of questions. Okay? Asked a lot of questions. He asked things like, who do men say that I am? How many loaves do you have? What do you want me to do? Do you want to be made well? Where is your husband? What do you want me to do? Why are you so afraid? He asked tons of questions. There's so many more. Jesus led in connections with people, engaging people by asking questions. He was interested. He interacted with others. And one of his methods of engagement were questions. And this is where we're going here this morning. The importance of asking good questions comes out of a sincere curiosity. Okay? Questions come out of a curiosity. I had an interesting experience this past week. A pretty regular attender to the Iron Skillet. Now, some of you are like, "You're kidding me." They have better coffee than Joy's, and they're open on Monday. Joy's isn't. And so Mondays, I usually go there on every Monday morning. I'm there at about 6:15, and that's when I plan out my whole week. Jaron just got mad at me for going to Iron Skillet, so he's leaving. He's offended. Yeah. So anyhow, okay. And so I go there, and I've been going there for a long time now. Every Monday morning or Tuesday sometimes, I'll be there, and I'll have my little notepad, and off I go, scheduling out and planning and thinking about my week. I noticed, somebody say notice. I noticed while I was sitting there, and I go to the exact same booth, it's the third one from the corner every time, except last week somebody took it, and I was offended, and I left the church. So, not going back to Iron Skillet ever again now. No, okay. And so I went to a different place, but I noticed the same person came in again. And every time that I've been there, she has come in. And she's an older lady. And she caught my attention because she reminded me of my mom. And she looked like my mom, kind of carried herself like my mom, and gray hair like my mom. And, you know, so she would come in. And my curiosity began to be piqued about her. And so last Monday morning, she walks in, and I have my little oatmeal, and I did my little thing, my delicious cup of coffee. And I said, "Okay, I'm gonna try out this." Okay, so I walked over and I sat in her booth, and I said, "Hi, my name is Bill, and I noticed you come in here quite often. And what was your name?" She goes, "Well, my name is Pam," and that began a very incredibly delightful conversation. That I asked her question after question about her life. I found out that 20 years ago, they moved here from California. 10 years ago, her husband divorced her. She's been alone ever since. The kids, she has three children, all three children, two moved to Phoenix, Arizona, one moved to California, so she's been here all alone. And I says, why are you staying here all alone if your kids are gone? She goes, "I just love this valley, and I love the people of it." And so we talked a long time and found out that she goes to a little church out in Bow. And you know what? Through that whole engagement, through that whole questioning, because I first noticed, because I was first curious about her, I began to ask the questions. And out of questions, guess what? I gained a new friend. And as a result of that, I shook her hand at the end. "Hey, Pam, I'll see you next Monday." She winked at me and said, "Okay, I look forward to it." And I look forward to it. I can't see her tomorrow morning because I got to drive to Richland today and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I'll see her again, and I'm looking forward to gaining her friendship. Now, she's already a follower of Christ, as far as I know, because she said she goes to church. Everyone who goes to church is a follower, right? So she said she goes there, and she knew about the church. She knew about Inspire Church. She knew about when it was Bethel, and we had a good talk. But listen, all I'm saying is, engaging through questions is a sure way to build a bridge. When I engage this person through asking questions, all of a sudden I build this, and I built the coolest bridge with Pam. And you know what? I'm kind of looking forward to seeing her again and talking with her, finding out some more about her. And she asked me, guess what? She even asked me a couple questions. you know, and so forth. Anyhow, here's what we're talking about here this morning. Every one of us building that bridge by, first of all, asking questions. Again, first of all, noticing, loving, praying, asking questions. Three things. Everyone has a story that they are wanting to tell. Everybody say it. Everyone has a story they want to tell. You want to tell something. Everybody has their own opinions, and they all stink. Never mind. No, everyone has their own opinions. They have their own thoughts. They have their own feelings. They have their own stories. Most people just never get asked. But they would love to tell it. They'd love to talk about it. They'd love to share it. They just never get asked. You see, when was the last time you were in a conversation with someone other than your family, and somebody asked you, hey, how are you doing? By the way, where did you come from, or how did you get here? You know, ask something more personal about you than, hey, is the sky blue and is ice cream cold? When does somebody actually ask you? Probably never. Think about it with me. We all have little stories. You're more than willing to tell. You just need someone to ask. And there's a Pam out there, there are people out there, I believe, in every one of our lives that have an incredible story to tell. But all we have to do is just begin to ask. Ask questions. Number two, curiosity fuels questions. We're all curious people. Now don't raise your hand because you'll indict yourself here. But how many of you have ever seen a sign that says wet paint and you still touch the paint? How many of you have seen a sign that says wet cement and you still, let me see, oh it is. You know, how many, I mean, fire alarm, don't go out this door. Let me see. You know, you were curious, maybe rebellious, but curious people. We all have those. Road closed. Let me see if it's closed. I'm curious. Is it really closed? You know, you're off the cliff. You know, we all have those, but we're curious people. This curiosity that's down deep inside of us, by the way, don't look on the screen. Is it up there? I've got a funny thing for you. Okay, don't look at the screen. Guys, don't. Look right here. Look right there. Okay, think. How do you spell... You're looking at the screen. Stop it. How do you spell curious? Okay, stop. You guys are messing me up. Think about it. How do you spell curiosity? There's no you in curiosity. What's up with that? Curios. No, there's not. Not in curiosity. C-U, but the second one. There's no second one. C-curiosity. Curiosity. There's no you. I mean, second you. Who made up this language? What's up with that? I was writing it out on my typewriter, and I put curiosity with a U in it, and it goes ding, 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 that little squiggly line. That's not misspelled. That's right. Anyhow. Nothing else, you learned that today. Okay, curiosity must be allowed to drive our conversations. It is an art, listen, an art that must be developed. Asking people the who, what, where, when, why, and hows of their life. Dig into just a little bit. Open the door. Curiosity opens that door. It fuels our conversation. It helps build those bridges in people's lives. Thirdly, or another point here, this curiosity, displays a humility. Man, I tell you guys, this curiosity, when you begin to ask a who, what, where, when, why, and hows of people, develops or displays a humility that is very unusual today. And it's unusual because we so much want to tell rather than ask. Look at social media. We are free to tell Facebook everything. But since when do you ask people? We're telling, telling, telling. We live in this crazy telling world. But when is the last time you asked someone that you were sitting next to on a shuttle or you were sitting next to on the job, just kind of, you know, you're just chilling. When was the last time you asked somebody, hey, tell me your story, or hey, tell how's things going in your life? What's happening in your life? By the way, that is a beautiful purse, or by the way, that's a beautiful pair of jeans. I don't care. Where'd you get them? You know, whatever. That you open up with a question. It's not that hard to do. Well, that's just not my personality. Well, you know what? Try another part. Try somehow to move into ask those kind of questions. You'll find some amazing little people out there, okay? I overheard a daughter to her mom yesterday. Mom almost fell off her chair. Hey, Mom, what else can I do to help? asking questions, wonderful questions. Anyhow, let's look at number three here quickly this morning under the area of questions. Questions build connection. See, I have a connection with Pam now because I bridged the gap and I began to ask questions. In this bridge illustration, once again, it helps to bridge that awkward gap. God used a lot of questions. After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he came to them and said, "Where are you? What are you doing? And who told you?" He was trying to reestablish that connection by asking questions. God went to Moses in the burning bush and he said, "What is that?" Or before, he said, "What is that you have in your hand?" He's building connections. God uses them to build connections. There are three quick statements I want to throw out to you here this morning in regard to questions. Okay, again, questions develop relationships. They build the connection. You see a friend at Fred Meyer, and you walk up to him. If you're a guy, you walk up and you go, "Hey, what's up? How's the kids?" I don't know what the women do. Nice nails. You know, I don't know. You know, but you build up. How do you start a conversation when you see somebody in Fred Meyer? You ask questions. Why? It builds connections. Okay. We need to have that same mentality about building bridges with the people God places in our lives. Three quick statements. Question, this is a great, these are three really cool, pithy statements, okay? Questions show that you want a relationship, not an audience. Hello? I'll let you put the meat on that one. Number two, questions get at the heart rather than surface chatter. Questions dig. Questions get a little bit deeper than, you know, sky is blue, ice cream's cold, snowing outside, got to go get the mail tomorrow. I mean, normal stuff, okay? Thirdly, questions are used to explore, listen to this, explore their world while attempting to not superimpose mine on them. See, questions are used to explore their world because they would really like to share their world, but nobody's asking. Why don't we be the people who begin to ask? Everybody said. Last one. Well, point the second part of this, okay? The fifth art is that of listening. Oh, this is a good one. Basically, what good is it to ask questions if you don't listen? So what do you say? Let's develop the art of listening. James chapter 1, verse 19. Brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen. Somebody say quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to become angry. Think about this. It's interesting about this verse. It's in the context. The prior verses talk. Paul is talking there. James, excuse me, and he says, "Consider it pure joy when you experience all types of fiery trials of life." Now, wait a minute. In the context, he's saying, "Consider pure joy." And the next thing he says is, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." What is he trying to do? How in the world are those packaged together? I think simply this. Listen, because everyone faces trials, and everyone needs to be listened to. We all face trials, so consider pure joy, and everyone needs to be listened to. That's the realities. Okay? Have you ever felt like when you're talking to someone? Let's see, who can I do this with? Oh, good. Emma, come here. Come here. Come here, Emma. Come on, quickly. Quickly. Have you ever been talking to someone? Come on up here quickly. You ever been talking to someone and they're, you know, they're off over here and you just want to say, "Would you listen to me?" You can sit down now. Okay. Did you ever want to do that? Every wife says, "Yeah, I do that every night." No. That's kind of what I'm talking about. That's the importance of listening. You just want to grab their face and say, "Would you please focus, me, you, baby, right here, you know?" We want to do that. And so that's what this is all about. You see, there are three obstacles to listening well. It's so easy to get impatient and lose track of what is being said. Have you ever been in a conversation, you're just carrying on this conversation, maybe you're at Iron Skillet and you're talking, and that person gets a text, and they say, "What? Excuse me, I have to take this." By the way, to me personally, right away that says, this conversation is more important than my conversation I'm currently having with you. So you are second class. So that's just me, but anyhow, we won't go any further. Anyhow, we'll just move on. That was personal. Should have shut up about that one. But anyhow, that's just my age group, right? Our age group, right? Anyhow, okay, well, I just stopped that. You get a text, and then that's what they do with their text. They come back, and they ask this question. Now, where was I? and you have no clue because you weren't listening. Anybody been there? Hello, come on, be honest here. Some of you are not being honest. Some of you are good, yeah. Okay, but here it is. So here's the three obstacles to listening well. Number one, you want to tell your own story, your own perspective. And then secondly, you're thinking about what you're going to say rather than concentrating. So you can't wait for them to take a breath so you can reach in. I've been there. I've done that. I've tasted that. I've been to that restaurant. By the way, here's a better restaurant, and I can always beat your story with my story, and so I'm not listening to your story because my story's better. Listening. See? And the third one is very simply, I want to fix whatever they are saying. So I'm so quick to hear their issue and then want to try to fix it. I'm not listening to them. Maybe they've already fixed their issue, but they're just building up to it, but you want to fix it, not, but you're not listening. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, verse 24, Jesus was confronted with a woman who had been bleeding for years. And she goes up to Jesus. You remember the story? It was like a parade. Jesus walking through, and there were crowds around, and they were pressing in, and the guards were saying, back, back, back. You see the disciples pushing everybody back, don't touch Jesus. Well, somehow the woman with the issue of blood reaches in and grabs the hem of his garment. You guys know the story. It's an interesting statement, though, in verse 33. It says, the woman told Jesus whole truth. Here's what I think of it. Right in the middle of this chaos of Jesus walking through the city, the crowds gathering and pressing, the Bible says, and the disciples pushing them back, this woman sneaks up, and when Jesus finds out the power had gone out of him and she had been miraculously healed, he stops. Listen, what does he do? He listens to her whole story in the midst of that. I picture Jesus, if I could do this, if I could say it with you. I picture him walking along and then feeling something. And he turns around and sees this lady, the look of fear on this lady's face. Oh, no. And he gets down on one knee and he looks at her in the eyes and says, tell me, what's going on in your life? What's happening? And he carries on this intimate conversation. And she tells him her whole story in the midst of all of this. Jesus takes time to stop and listen. Didn't the Bible say just a few minutes ago, have the same mind as that is in Christ Jesus? Ability to listen. See, here's three very, very fast things. Number one, listening reflects the heart of God. Okay? Let me just say it this way. Aren't you glad Jesus listened to you one day? Aren't you glad someone listened to you? Don't you think that maybe there's someone else out there who would like to be listened to also? You see, so much of our evangelism, talked about already, so much of our evangelism and training is in learning how to tell. I wonder if somehow we should learn how to listen. Because we can probably gain a lot more insight and build a much better bridge into people's lives if we'd learn how to listen to them rather than always tell them. Okay? Especially those guys holding the placards out in the corner of the intersections, or they're out in the sports events and they have these big signs that says, repent, turn, or burn. Nobody ever talks to them. You know why? Because you know you can't, they won't listen. Because they want to tell. I think people are wanting to listen. See, listening communicates two very, very key messages. Number one, just say this one with me. Listening is loving. There it is. Think about it. Just get that into your psyche this morning. Listening is loving. The way I want to, and we can say this to our mates, right? Right? I prove my love to you by the fact that I'm focusing and listening to you. Listening is loving. See, and the second thing, listening sends this message, I respect you. Listen, it says, I respect you and you are worth my time. Wow, what a powerful message, guys. What a powerful message. See, when all of a sudden we stop to listen to them tell their story and we're listening and we're parroting it back a little bit. Oh, so you lived in San Diego? Yeah, I lived in San Diego. Well, how'd you like San Diego? And we're questioning, but in the process we're listening to them and we're parroting it back as we carry on this conversation. All of a sudden, guess what? They're feeling like you really care about them. Because what you're saying is that you are worth this time. You are worth this, and I respect it. See, it sends out this incredibly, very, very incredible message. The majority of people, again, are just starved for someone to just listen. And quickly, number three, listening enables us to understand. Proverbs 18:15, wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. Did you see that? Wise men and women, turn to the person next to you and say, you're a wise woman or a wise man, depending on their gender, please. Okay, All right? They're always learning, always listening for fresh ideas. Okay, it's pretty simple. No listening means no insights. Did you see that? Because if you're always telling, how can you ever be learning? If we're always talking, there can be no learning. And if there's no learning, then absolutely no connection and no bridge. No listening means no learning. No bridge is developed. I'm going to ask Tanya to come to the piano, if you would, as we close here this morning. And as we look at these two aspects of questions and listening, I want to ask us here this morning, I want you to grasp these two things. And by the way, my wife and I will be starting a parenting class on Wednesday night. We're doing it for 4 weeks as part of our life groups. And starting this Wednesday night here in the auditorium. And I'm going to talk about this particular area, the importance in a family of learning how to ask the right questions and learning how to listen also. How many of you know those two factors are pretty important in the family?
Hello.
Anyhow, okay, that'll be here. So on your, here's what I'm asking. Take your Connect card out with me if you would. And in your Connect card, once again, as Garrett has said, you fill that out with as much information as you're comfortable with. And if you're a guest here this morning, please make sure you fill that out. We'd love to have a record of your visit with us. But here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Would you, again, let's walk through the five so far. And as you're filling this out, I know you guys can multitask, and so as you're filling it out, you can follow me. Number one, who have you noticed around your life? Maybe who are the three people as we've been talking? Who are they? Think about who they are. Think about where they work. Maybe they're your neighbor. Okay, as you focus on that. Secondly, as you notice, what are you doing to pray for them? I was so excited as I read a number of the Connect cards last week. A number of you put on praying every day. I have in my morning journal and my morning devotions. Wonderful, wonderful. Keep praying for them. What are some things that you can do? Just some practical, loving things. Maybe it's See's chocolate. Maybe it's a mocha. Maybe it's just a little card. Or maybe it's just a phone call. Maybe it's whatever. You know who they are and what they would appreciate. Just to show that you're thinking about them. Okay, and then next is, when is there a time that you can maybe get together with them and begin to ask some good questions? In the process of asking those questions, learn how to be a good listener. Develop that art of being a good listener, okay? So as we look at that, practice asking more than telling. Let me tell you a real quick little thing I've learned this week. And it's a fancy word, okay? You ready for this? How many of you have ever heard of transactional analysis? Transactional analysis is basically a communication technique that we talk about in regards to sharing our feelings, our thoughts, and so forth with one another, how we act with one another. And it divides it down into three different categories: parent, adult, child. Parents will typically communicate from the point of what? Stop doing that. Don't go there. Don't you know better? Would you put those away? Parent. How does that typically make people feel? Put down, frustrated, discouraged, overwhelmed, hurt, right? Whereas if you talk on the level of an adult, you talk more informationally. You talk more caringly. You talk more as adults rather than as a parent. As a child, you talk more emotionally. How many times do you hear that? You're so dramatic! Children, youth, okay? There's a lot of drama, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of feeling. So when we ask the questions, we're not asking questions as far as pointing fingers, we're asking questions as far as information. Finding out, fact-finding, on an adult to adult. You see, because if we, as a parent, many times, and this is a communication technique, if we always communicate with one another as parents, then we'll, many times the response by the person we're communicating with will respond as a child, and that's either a flee or a fight. Okay? Right? They'll either just withdraw like a sea anemone when it's touched. They'll go, okay, or they'll say, bring it, baby. I'm not going to go into my room. I'm not going to shut my door, and I'm not going to follow that rule. I'm not going to go there, because we're responding as a child. But however, if we begin to communicate as adults, it elicits an adult response. See? That's all in the area of questions, asking. Practice asking. And I'd encourage you at your home, practice asking more than telling. So, listening, let's close. Focus more on focusing. So again, take your card and just write on there, what you feel that God's speaking to your heart about, and maybe those people that's around you. Questions, listening. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never said, Jesus, would you please forgive me? You've never confessed Christ, become a Christ follower. There's a place on there that says, I'd like to become a follower of Christ. Would you mark that? We'd love to get in touch with you and answer any more questions that you may have about your faith, okay? And walk with you through this whole process. Knowing Jesus Christ is the best thing that's ever happened in my life. And I know many people also here can say the same thing. Follow Jesus Christ. So you have that there. Maybe you want to recommit your life to Christ. Please use this. This is an excellent tool to help communicate with us as a staff. Because as soon as I dismiss in a few minutes, everybody's going to take off. Psh, gone. Some of you who are relatively newcomers, and you're going to go over and have pizza with us over in the youth center. That's awesome. I'll see you there. However, we're going to take off. Okay? But wait a minute. This is the way that you can communicate. Please take advantage of that right now. So would you bow your heads with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.